last time we began, some of the opening qualifications for what it means to be part of the chabura. We learned page 7 and 8, 7 the mataras ha-chevra, the goal of the chevra. We started to talk about the composition of the group, what it takes to be a member of our group. And the last thing the Piyaz Atzinarbi was teaching us was that a person has to have a desire to be a part of this. And that desire doesn't, we'll see tonight, a person doesn't need major qualifications to be a part of the chevra. A person has to be interested in improving himself, has to be bothered by the state of his current spiritual state, which is not a bad thing. It doesn't mean that a person's currently a failure in his avodas Hashem. It just means that there's a very burning, strong desire to grow. I don't know if I mentioned, but Rav Chaim Ozer, our Neuberger mentioned this in the drasha, it's from the Sefer Kol Aryeh, that Rav Chaim Ozer met with the Chavetz Chaim on numerous occasions in Vilna over the years. And he said the Chavetz Chaim, when he was in his 90s, when he was still in the Chavetz Chaim, we know lived to the night until he was in his 90s, he said the Chavetz Chaim when he was 70, when he was 80, even when he was in his 90s, he said every single time he saw the Chavetz Chaim, it was Kilo who was a different person. That the spiritual change that took place on a person who was already so elevated was so astounding that it was noticeable. He said it wasn't just that he looked physically older, but I mean he looked physically younger from the schadshus that was taking place with him. But there was a constant transformation. So we shouldn't feel that just because the Piyaz Esther Rebbe is using somewhat strong lashonos, as we mentioned last time, right, that a person has this gnawing feeling inside of him that what's my life going to be? What's going to be with me? Right, that doesn't mean that a person's not doing an okay job, and we should continue to do an okay job. We should strive to do a better job. So let's pick up on page 9, Os Gimel. The Kevin Chikain. And since this is so, on Wadiyam Bazeh, so we have to declare the following again as part of the ground rules for being a part of the Chevra. Again, we're only interested in people. This is not an exclusive club. We learned in Os Aleph, there's not going to be a president, there's not going to be a vice president, there are no titles in a place where Jews are trying to just grow together. But as far as being a member of the Chevra, you have to have a certain worry, a certain desire to be a part of something. And now the Piyaz Etzarebi, in a loving and gentle way, but in a firm way, says that people who don't fit this category, if it doesn't bother you, if you think you've achieved shleimus in your life, it says in this past week's parsha by the Paraduma, Shalo Allah Alea Ol, a Paraduma Tamima Shalo Allah Alea Ol. I think the Kashrut Tzur Magid says, the Vodas Yisrael, Sichar Tzavtim Kadosh Levracha, says that a person, the only person in the world who could dream that he's a para, a duma, tmima, that he's perfect, that he's refined, that he's exactly what he wants to be, is a person that's what? Shalom Allah Allah, who hasn't been makabal upon himself, Ol Machas Shemayim. Anyone who's in the game, the whole tachlis of Yediyah, the Sefer Yikarim says, we learn in order to know how little we know. And we try to know about Hashem to remind ourselves we don't know. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu could be the greatest chacham of all and the most humble Jew of all. Because what he saw, and the more he understood about Hashem, the more he realized it's endless, there's an infinite amount to know, and I'm humbled by that. In a very holy and elevated way. Not in a way of, again, feeling lowly about oneself or feeling down, but with a sense of there's so much more to do. So a person who's dishonest, in a sense, and feels that he doesn't have an interest in these concerns, he feels that he's perfected himself, he's the par aduma tamima, he's perfect already, as we mentioned above, we ask such a person, please don't join our group. We'll still be your friend. We'll still give you a shalom aleichem on the street. We'll wish you good shabbos. We'll invite you for lunch. But please don't join our group. And don't fool yourself. And don't fool us. Because no one's going to get anything out of it. We're looking for Mavaksha Hashem, we're interested, at least in some sense, in a like-minded goal. And don't damage those of us who have come together with a sense of honesty and simplicity and integrity, with a desire to be wholesome Jews who are trying to improve themselves. I brought along a sefer called the Chaya Olam Nata. If not the friend, he was a Rav in Eretz Yisrael in Yerushalayim. And they recorded some of the Talmidim, in addition to obviously his regular shir, and they recorded certain anecdotes, certain sipuri tzaddikim, chassidim that he shared over the course of the calendar year. So he has an entry, it's actually dated Yud Zayin Tammuz, and he says the following. It says in Shulchan Aruch that Ayari Shamayim, which already this is going to make us feel bad, but we shouldn't feel bad, there's always room to improve. Roy l'chol Yari Shamayim she'meitar v'doeg al-chorban b'sanikdash. Anyone who's a true Yarei Shamayim, if you're a God-fearing individual, you should be bothered by the fact that there's no Beis HaMikdash. Bothered. I go about my day, I'm not so bothered. Right? Obviously, if you ask me, would I like if there's a Beis HaMikdash? Yes, I would like if there's a Beis HaMikdash. On Tisha B'Av, do I think about it? On Tisha B'Av, I think about it. During the 3 weeks, we think about it. Right? But a real Yarei Shamayim, one of the first halachos in Shulchan Aruch. This is one of the opening halachos in Aruch Chaim, is that a Yarei Shamayim has to be bothered. Has to be doig. The language of P.S. Esther has to be doig on the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. So he says here that one time, Echad Shal Es HaChidush HaRebbe, someone once came to the Ger Rebbe and asked him, V'chi Rak Yarei Shamayim Tzarech Lios Meitzar V'doig? U'misha Eino Yarei Shamayim Ein Tzarech Letztar Al Chorban Beis HaMikdash? What, only a Yarei Shamayim has to worry about the Beis HaMikdash? Let's say I'm not a Yarei Shamayim. So, but I don't have a right to be worried about the Beis HaMikdash. So isn't what the Chidush HaRebbe said. First Ger Rebbe said, Amar Lo, Misha Eino Yarei Shamayim. If you don't have a sense of being a Yarei Shamayim, you can't confidently say about yourself that you're a Yarei Shamayim. Again, on whatever level. But if you can't call yourself amongst those people who want to be Yarei Shamayim, don't worry about the Beis HaMikdash. Roy Lo Lios Meitzer V'doig Achorban Atzma. You should be broken over the Chorban that's taking place inside of yourself. The fact that you're going through, how many years have you lived already? And you haven't even begun to ask yourself, what is Yarei Shamayim? Haven't even learned the Rambam? What's the definition of a Yarei Shamayim? I don't know what the term means. I mean, I've heard a couple of Moser Shmuzin over the years, the term's thrown around, but what does it mean? So before you worry about the Beis HaMikdash, before you worry about the Chorban at large, right, think about the Chorban that's taking place inside of oneself. And that's what the Pizat Sarbi is saying. If you're not interested, if it doesn't bother you, if the goals and the ideals of this group to set out, to try to better oneself, so don't fool yourself and don't fool us, and don't spoil those of us who are trying to start fresh together in an honest way. V'lo od, continues the Piyaz Etzner, Ela she'ein anu seveyim ratzon kolkach bekro ish kazeh es akuntros seh gamkin. He says, honestly, I'll tell you that a person who's not going to take this avodah seriously, I'd rather you not learn my sefer. I wrote this kuntros for people who are seeking, who are longing, who are interested in improving, and I don't need to bare my soul for a person. You'll see a very beautiful and poetic and powerful line in a second, but I don't need to bare my soul. I don't need to spill myself out onto paper, says the Piyaz Etzner, for people who are just gonna, you know, read this as a casual read, something to pass the time, something to go in one ear and out the other ear. The Asher Nirmaz Gamzeh B'Divrei HaMedrash, and he brings an interesting medrash to bring out this idea. Al Yisrael Shelo Gilu Mistorin Shelhem Mitzrayim. It says that the Jewish people did not reveal their mystery. Right? Nistorin is a lashon of mystery. They didn't reveal their secrets in Mitzrayim. So what does it mean the Jews kept a secret in Mitzrayim? One of the madregos of Klal Yisrael was they kept a secret in Mitzrayim. What does it mean they kept a secret in Mitzrayim? What does that mean? Lo asa sod vel shel v'shala isha mishkenata. Not only the mystery, what was the secret? The secret was that the Jewish women, the Medrash says, they went around and they knew exactly where the things were. And then they went to their Egyptian neighbors and said, oh, by the way, do you happen to have a nice blue dress? She said, yeah, I happen to have a nice blue dress in my closet. That's so strange that you asked Dafka for a blue dress. Right? Because they had already gone around during Makas Choshech and they knew exactly what was there. So that was the secret that Klal Yisrael had. This was like a little prank at the end of years of suffering. One last kick at the Egyptians on their way out. They had this great secret, this little joke that the Jews had going for themselves. Right? But says the Piyaz Esther, it's not only that when a woman went to borrow from her neighbor, not only that was the secret. Rak bechlal kol divrei hanefesh. The Jewish people, as much as they were, what's the definition of an eved? An eved means I have no control of myself. An eved means you control me. And yet every single Jew in Mitzrayim kept a secret. They kept certain kochos hanefesh, a certain inner strength, that no matter what the Egyptians did to them externally, the Jews were able to keep a certain secret, a certain inner rotzon to be close to Hashem. When the Mitzrayim thought the Jews are cracking, they're falling apart. 38th level, 39th level, 40th level, 49th level of Tumah, the Jews, they're finished, they're done. And yet we had a secret that was still burning inside of us that took us out eventually. What's that secret? Shetzrich lios besod v'tznias, that there has to be a part of a Jew. And this is the irony and sort of the challenge of doing a very personal avoda b'chabura, is on the one hand, each of us has to be thinking very personally about our own life situation and about our own kochos and nefesh and figure out what am I as an individual, I as part of my family, I as part of the community, whatever I am, whatever I means, to figure out what I'm going to do to become a better, more connected Jew. And yet we're still doing this b'chabura. So, you know, it's kind of a personal thing that's taking place in a public setting. So at the very least, I want to know that the members of our team are people I can trust. That if I'm going to bare my soul, if I'm going to be able to talk openly, if we're all going to be able to talk openly, and I hope people will talk a little more, I hope I don't do all the talking, but we're just getting warmed up. But if we're going to be able to try to talk about serious inyanim of Avodas Hashem, we don't want someone here who's going to be, you know, rolling their eyes or scoffing at the whole notion of trying to better one. I'm fine, I go to shul, I keep kosher, I keep Taras Mishpach, like, yeah, I'm a Jew, I follow the halachas, you know, I learn a little. There has to be a certain tznius that's kept amongst the chevra, and I want to know that the chevra can be trusted. And look what he says in the last two lines. Nisharu batzneya, ki lo min haroi hu, sheyiru acherim es nishamos artilos, b'shah sheroksos es asam mitumasam. Very, very powerful line. You know, a person, right, I was in Eretz Yisrael, this is a strange thing to share, but I was in Eretz Yisrael a little while back, I was with my brother, he lives in Katamon, and we went to the mikvah on Erev Shabbos. It happens to be the setup in the mikvah, I liked it very much. What was it? I once went to a mikvah somewhere else in Eretz Yisrael, and it's like, it's wild. I'll leave it at that. This mikvah, and what I liked about it was, it's not that every person goes on their own, there's many showers, and there are people, you know, changing together, but the room is dark. So it's understood that there's a certain element of tznius. Obviously, you know, no one's looking, everyone's being sensitive to other people's privacy, but there was a certain atmosphere of tznius that you know, we're going through a process of tara, and we want to purify our physical bodies, and it should be done in a way that, okay, maybe we can't set it up that everyone can have a private, you know, spa experience, like women are sometimes zocha too when they go to the mikvah, right? But at least there should be a certain element of, if I'm bearing myself, I want to feel somewhat safe. So the Pesach Service says, Al-Achas Kam V'Kam, when we talk about the spiritual realm. When a person takes out their neshama, right, and we're all rinsing our neshama privately and publicly at the same time. Look what he says. It's not fitting that people should be looking as neshamas are undressed. That's what our tilayos means. That neshamas are naked. B'shah sherokhsas is asam mitumasa. When we're undergoing this cleansing process, we want to make sure that the people who are sitting with the chevra are people who can be trusted, who have a sensitivity that, yes, we all have tumah that we need to rid ourselves of and to better ourselves and to cleanse ourselves. And we want to know that the chevra who we're sitting with are not going to poke fun at us or to look down on us, but are really members that I can lean on and count on to work through the process together. Page 10. He says later on we're going to talk more about the details of what it takes to be part of the chevra. He's going to teach us some techniques first on page 11, but he says I'll get back to it. But just a few more points he says I have to share before we jump in. If you want to be a part of this Heilige assembly, you need to meet the following requirements. Again, the reasonable requirements. If you're feeling a sense of distress over the lowliness of one's soul, and again, it could be you showed up 2 weeks ago and you weren't feeling that, and now we're starting to feel that. That's also okay. We feel far from Hashem. We want to be closer to Hashem. Now, this is going to be rule number one when we get to page 11. So let's start to internalize it now. Not that a person should simply know something in an abstract sense. Not that I know I need to be a better Jew. We all know that. I think if any of us are the least bit honest, we know intellectually, we know we need to be better Jews. If someone stopped on the street and said, "Are you a perfect Jew?" I think we'd all have the humility and the honesty to say, "We're not perfect Jews. I know that I need to be better." Pesach never says that's not enough to join the chevra. An intellectual knowledge that I need to be better can be a very, like the Kotzker said, the farthest distance in the world. It's from the heart to the mind. Right? The distance from knowing something to actually being able to feel something is a world of difference. And therefore, as a prerequisite for being part of the group, a person has to not only know his lowly matzav, ki yadia b'seichel kol echad yoder, because anyone and everyone knows intellectually that there are things we need to work on. We all know our shortcomings. A person knows Saras Nafsha. Imrak inu meshuga or shikor. If you're not crazy or drunk, right? The Pesach the Rebbe gives you benefit of the doubt that intellectually, we're mature enough that intellectually we all know that we could be better Jews. That's not why we're here. We're here because achshav emes yargish ka'ivliv. That a person not only intellectually knows it, but he feels it. And he feels it in his heart. And it doesn't mean that every second of the day, although that's the goal maybe, that every second of the day I feel this burning desire to get closer to Hashem, but at least a little bit, to start to feel something again. To feel that the flesh is alive. Ashanafsho maralo. Right? If a person gets pricked with a needle, so and he feels it, that's a sign that he's alive. It's a good sign.
A dead body doesn't feel anything. So you could say, well, the dead body has it better because he's not suffering and he doesn't feel the pain. The fact that it bothers you is a great sign. It's a sign you're alive. That means you care. U'margishu daigaz mizeh. And a person, margish, he feels it. There's a hargasha. There's a strong feeling. Lo pachos k'mo min daigaz of ha'gufni yischas hashom. No less than the pain that a person feels when he's struggling with his health, or he's struggling with to pay his mortgage, or he's struggling with anything else in the realm of the guf. V'lo'od ele shekol kach yatzik lo adavar at sheyivche lef'amim al tzaras nafsho v'al shiflus atzmuso. That he even comes to tears once in a while. Tears are hard to come by. We know the gate of tears are never locked. The Gemara says, the Medrash says, that the gates of Tfilos were locked up long ago, but the gates of tears are always open. The truth is, when we talk about tears, you don't even need so many tears. We don't even need so many tears. You know, we know the Maisa, Shlomo, Karlbach Maisa, the Rebbe of Vorki, sitting by the ocean of tears. Klai Yisrael, we have enough tears. Baruch Hashem this week, we're zocha to many more tears. Halavai, those tears should come to Yeshua very, very soon for Klai Yisrael. But you don't even need so many tears. Rav Zaitchik was one of the Chashuv Balei Musar of the previous generation. He wrote the Sefer Moros HaGadolim, a collection of all the aphorisms from different tzaddikim, different Balei Musar. So I read one time, he said a beautiful var. He said, if you look at the pasuk in Yeshaya, the pasuk that unfortunately we always share by a Levaya, the pasuk that's really the end of Maseches Moed Katan, the pasuk in Yeshaya says in Perek Chaf Hei, Bila Hamavas LaNetzach, we beg of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, enough with death already. How many more korbanos do we have to bring you, Rabbanu Shalom? Bila Hamavas LaNetzach, we want to be done, erase it forever. Umacha Hashem Elokim, and Hashem, we ask you, Macha, to erase, what's the next word? Dimla Me'al Kol Panim. So he points out, Rav Zaitchik says, Dimla is Lashon Yachad. Dim means a tear. A tear, a single tear. And he says, that's the koach of a single tear. It's Lashon Yachid. We've cried many tears, and you know, it shouldn't be, but if Klal Yisrael has to cry more tears, we'll cry more tears. But realize the value of one tear. One tear could mean also a lav dafka that comes out of your eyes, but there's a hergish, right? You're crying on the inside even. That there's a sense of shiflus atzmo. And he encounters it in a very sincere and honest way. And he wants to confront it. And I want to just say something very interesting that I saw in the Sefer Or Yitzchak. Or Yitzchak was a Yitzchak of Radvil. And he writes in Parshas Tolos an interesting thing. It's a question we've been asking ourselves this week, hearing about the terrible tragedies in Eretz Yisrael. Right, Rabbanu Shalom, what do you want at this point? How many more tears do you want? The ocean of tears is overflowing. You know, Rav Yom Tov Glazer, the surfing rabbi from from Ish. Yeah, he can ride big waves on the ocean of tears already. There's plenty of tears in the ocean of tears over Klal Yisrael's history. So what do you want, Rabbanu Shalom? When's it gonna be enough? What's the pshat? So he says an amazing thing in Parshas told us. He says, the Medrash says, Bishvil Dimos Shabacha Esav, Va'amar Barchini Gam Ani Avi, Zacha L'chol Atov Azeh. Unfortunately, There's a strong kitru against Klal Yisrael. Why? Because Esav cried tears also. Now listen to what he says. He quotes from Rishmelka of Nicholsburg. I don't understand. So Esav cried one time. He came to his father and he cried over the fact that he lost out on the Bechor, which he wasn't even entitled to. Right? He cried tears of false tears, of a rush. And yet, it was Poel and Shemayim, but everything that Esav had, all the koach of Edom, Chorban Bayis Sheni, which was brought about by Edom, by the Romans, that's all the legacy of Esav, all their success, all of Western culture, anything that it's Zocha to. And it is Zocha. In the eyes of the world, it's certainly Zocha. Right? It's all in the merit of a couple of tears that Esav once cried because he felt cheated by something he didn't even deserve. So says Rav Shmelka of Nicholsburg, Zechusa Yigen Aleinu, I don't understand. Klal Yisrael have been crying for countless generations. V'adin shekol edvarim betelim b'shishim. We know from the Gemara Chulin that it's batel b'shishim. We've cried, Klal Yisrael, B'sach HaKol have cried certainly 60 times over whatever Esav cried. I don't care how much he was crying on that afternoon. There's no question we've it should be batel at this point. So how is Esav's koach still shorer in the world? How can it be? V'lama demos shalanu einim avatam demos shal Esav. So why are tears not working? And he says something that's challenging. I'm not saying this is pasha. Halavai we should be able to cry at all, even for simple things. But it's something to strive for, to understand what it means to cry in an emistic tear. And then it could be one tear. Then it could be like Rav Zaitchik says, Machadima al kopanim. Vitira Tarav in his Kerala also says, Rashmelk of Nicholsburg, Mitzadju min bimino. Lezea demos shalano enim yachol levatal demos shal Esav. We know in halacha that there's different ways, there's different forms of bittel. Right? Sometimes you have min b'she'enu mino, and sometimes you have min bimino. Machma shehu min bimino. What does that mean? Esav bachav amar b'cheni gam ani avi. Esav cried and said to his father Yitzchak, please bless me. V'ratza kol tova olam hazeh. Esav's tears were primarily tears because he felt cheated out of olam hazeh. V'nachnu bochem gam kim b'zeh inyan. And the reason that our tears are not being answered is because too often when a Jew is crying, it's unfortunately not because we feel like the PSS therapy is describing that our spiritual state is so terrible, but we're crying because we had a tough day physically. It's min b'mino, and it's not going to be batel. It's not going to be batel b'shishim. It's not a drop of milk in chicken soup. It's min b'mino. Uve'emes ilu hayu abechil shalanu besod imo anochi b'tzara. If we would be able to think once in a while, when we're going through a tough time, and it's hard, I'm not saying this is pashut, but when a person's going through a tough time, to say for a second, B'shem Kol Yisrael, I'm doing this for Klal Yisrael. Right? I'm doing this for you, HaKadosh Baruch. The Rizhner, the Halak of Rizhner, when he was arrested, he was sitting in jail, he was crying, B'chilos Noros, and they said to him, they felt so bad for him. Right? The Jews who were given access to him, he said, I'm not crying because I'm sitting in a dungeon. I'm sitting in solitary confinement. I'm crying because Rachmana Litzana, I had to take the Shechina Kadosh inside of myself into this makom. I'm sad for. I feel bad that Hashem has to sit in a dungeon. The Rishner himself lives in a palace. The Shechina should be in a palace. I'm sad that the Shechina has to come to such a place. And when we're zochah to cry tears that are sincere, that are heartfelt, that are tears of ruchnius. And again, halavai, the tears that we cried this week, which were tears of tears of ruchnius. We cried over the bodies of the kedoshim, but they're tears of ruchnius. They're tears over the sad state of Klal Yisrael, the face of our enemies that we still face after all these years. Halavai, they should be those emistic tears that Kodesh Baruch Hu is makabel in a very amazing way. I want to just add one other point from the sefer called the Machzeh Einayim. Was the Bialystoker Magid. I was able to find the Sefer in Shemus. I was actually looking for it for many years, and someone threw it out, so I picked it up. But he says an amazing thing in the third Machzeh. It's arranged by these long drushos, I guess you can describe them. He says an amazing, amazing thing. Why is it when you stub your toe, your eyes start to water? Why is it when you have a headache, your eyes start to water? Why is it when you get punched in the stomach, your eyes start to water? Why is it always the eyes? Why did the Kadosh Baruch Hu program? It's an amazing insight into the kochos of the guf. V'nisbonin kiyam yivcha al the mirov machovav, mirov torasav, az yizlu mayim me'enov. Right? A person, God forbid, gets their finger stuck in the door. Right? So why doesn't the hand start to cry? Why doesn't the eyes start to cry? Why did the Kadosh Baruch Hu program it that way? Hamal asa Hashem kocha. Why dafka the eyes? Listen to what he says. And it's very, very fitting as we enter Chodesh Tammuz and Av, which should be good months. V'nahafachu. It's a koach of v'nahafachu. We can't talk about it now. We should have a shir on Tammuz. But it's a koach of v'nahafachu that exists in the world of Tammuz. It should be a koach of v'nahafachu. But the Arizal says that the month of Tammuz and Av correspond to the two eyes, the right eye and the left eye. It's a zman of seeing, which is why there's so many challenges in Shmiras Einayim in the summer. In the winter, when everyone's dressed up, bundled up, it's not so hard to walk down the street. A person walking in midtown Manhattan in the summer, it's a very different story. So why is it that way? In yad, or regal, or eiver echad, or eiver acher, nilke, if any part of the body, right, the person gets hit, struck on any part of the body, why is it the eyes that cry? Einayim mordim demos. Mipnei ma, he says, why is that so? Ki hu zeh mipnei, ki einei ha'odim heim rishis v'chol chathas. He says, technically that's your sefer. So you can no, don't take it away.
No.
It'll jump in on the side. But just at the end of the night, you should know you got the last one. We're going to get more. We're not going to leave Mati without a sefer. Not to worry. So why is it, why do the eyes cry? Because the eyes are the root of all faith. It's an amazing thing. So a person stubs their toe and he's making a chajra. What did I do wrong with my toe? Why is my toe, why did the Hashem punish my toe? The answer is, very possibly you didn't do anything wrong with your toe. It's your eyes that are being punished. And that's why the tears are coming from your eyes, because the eyes are the starting point of every chait. That's what Chazal already said, the eye sees and then the heart desires and the body acts upon it. But if we just learn to see in the right way, and the root of all Lashon Hara, all of the tikkun that we're trying to do to correct everything that brought about Chorban Bayis Sheni, is all rooted in Jews who didn't look at other Jews in the right way. It all starts with the Einayim. That's why Tammuz and Av correspond to the two eyes. And that's why the eyes cry. So halavai, halavai. The tears that we cry should be honest tears, should be tears that are sincere, tears of real Dvar Ruchnim. And Amir Hashem, we do that. We cry in that way. That's what the PSS Derby says. So then we're Zocha to be part of this Chavra. And obviously we're part of the bigger Chavra of Klal Yisrael. Mavakshei Hashem, we're trying to improve themselves every single day of their lives. Let's go on to Beis. Secondly, very interesting tonight. Shia Ben Torah Ima'at V'Em Harbe. A person wants to be a part of the chavra, you have to be a ben Torah. What's the definition of a ben Torah? Mendel Zaks was a relative of the Chafetz Chaim. So in his Sefer Chidushi of Mendel, so he says a ben Torah sounds like a sound, a ben, you have to be a ben to the Torah. The relationship of a ben to a child to a parent is the deepest relationship. A ben Torah means you see yourself as a child of the Torah, you're a byproduct of the Torah. But Beis HaSefer says ima'at imharbe, each person according to his level. You have to be a person who wants to be called the ben Torah. It's not a title we're ashamed of. It's not a title that we're embarrassed of. A title we're very proud of. And I want to see myself as really a child, that my life is shaped and molded by the Torah. The same way my life, that my DNA is molded by my parents. And it's traceable, it's identifiable upon me. You look at a person, you look like your mother, you look like your father. You look like Torah. You look like a person who has a shaykhus to Torah. Gimel. It doesn't matter what your profession is. You don't have to be in full-time learning, you don't have to be a Rebbe, you don't have to do any of those things. Yei socha ba'malacha v'chulu. Whatever it is that you do, that's perfectly fine. Rak, sheyafana esatzvo al kol panim, gimel panim bashu alamak b'chevra. You have to join the chevra for our 3 times a week gathering. Okay, so we're all nechshal in this. But yirid ha'sadoros, we'll give ourselves the heter to do once a week for now, until Rabbi Yish pushes us over and we up to 3. You have to be committed to the chevra, you have to show up on time to be part of the team meetings, and we go from there. Dalet. Im einu betivo hafachfach. This is strong. A person has to be a person who's a committed person. By nature, you can't be a person who's inconsistent. Religious growth requires consistency. And I want to turn for a second, if we can. Let's just turn to the back of the sefer. Let's turn to page 50. I want to say 55. No, 52. Let's turn to page 52. The OCO on page 52. Again, it's strong words from one of the most loving rebbes who ever was. But I think, again, what does it mean to not be hafachfach? The Gemara says in Megillah, Daf Tesvav Amud Beis, that Achashverosh was a hafachfacha. Hafachfacha means a person who can't stick to something from one day to the next. So, again, every bit counts. I'll be cholik on the Rebbe in that sense. Every little bit that we do matters. But at the same time, if you want to really get something out of this, you have to be committed to it as an avoda, something that we're going to practice. We're not only going to talk about it for 40 minutes a week when we get together, but we're going to try to think about it during the week. And you have to be a person, again, of strong resolve, not a person who's inconsistent by nature. He says on page 52, Hakshevu Shema, Zachor V'Shamor, Kol Davar Tov Anhaga Tov Ashati Yodeya Shetzarach Atal Asosa. A person has certain things in his life that he knows he needs to do. I know I need to start getting to minyan on time. I don't know what my problem is. Why can't I do that? I know I need to do that. Intellectually, I know that. Hein b'talmud Torah, v'tfilah. I know I need to start learning regularly. I'm not learning regularly. I promised myself that I would always learn regularly, and I'm not. And I know I need to change that. Hein b'snagus sh'atzmacha. And other unhagot. I know I need to stop doing this. I know I need to start doing that. L'mashal, in yodeya, tashetzarach ata l'kum b'shmuros b'shazo. If I know I'm supposed to get out of bed this time every day, and I know every single day I'm hitting my alarm 10 times, 15 times, 20 times, y'nech shaltav lo kam taz, and I didn't keep to my commitment, which I know I should be doing it. Or I decide, you know what, I have too much of a taiva for ice cream, I'm going to stop eating ice cream. I can't give in to every bodily urge, and it's affecting other areas of my bodily desires, and I need to show some self-restraint. I'm not going to eat this item. Or maybe a person who's just on a diet and wants to eat healthier in a more healthy way. Right? We'll see in the piece of advice that we'll get to in Mirtz Hashem. And you committed yourself to something and you failed. Says the P.S.S. Rabbi, V'chein b'shar dvar, Yehei be'einecha ki'ilu nechshalta b'aveira chamura chas v'shal. A person who says, I want to start dieting, and they don't stick to it, you should view that, says the P.S.S. Rabbi, and again, this is our spiritual doctor, we have to trust that he knows what he's talking about. He's not just poking around, he's an expert in the field. We should feel comfortable in his hands. He says, a person who commits himself to do something and doesn't do it, you should treat it, again, in a healthy way, but you should be tough on yourself in the sense and say, it was as if I did a bit of an error. Because why can't I stick to something that I know I need to be doing? Why am I having such a hard time with it? Umisha ain't called kishlon be'enav. If it doesn't bother you, okay, it was a nice idea, but it didn't work out. I said I was going to start doing it, but I didn't do it. If it doesn't bother me like an avera, litzdar lidog alav chas v'shalom, kal shebekalim. He calls us kal shebekalim. You're lightweight. You're a frivolous person. You're not a person who can be trusted. Ki akalus hu she'ein amidaso chazaka. Keseyer v'kenotza ba'avir hu mitnoeh. Like a leaf, or like a piece of hair, or a feather that's blowing in the wind. Rega omei b'mizrach, rega sheni, ruach He started off on the east side, and 2 minutes later, you're blown to the west side. A person who's a serious person, and we want to be serious people, again, in the right way, we have to be committed that we're going to do something real with our lives. Because if I'm not serious about my commitments, I'm not going to be serious about anything. And that's what he's saying. I think that's what he's really trying to say over here back on page 10. That a person can't be a fachfach. You can't be a person who's one day this, one day that. What I commit myself to today, in an act of, an impetuous act, the next day I just tear it down. That's going to be better not to join the group. If you're not ready to work on yourself in a serious way, he's saying, don't join the group. And you flip the plate on its head. You turn over all the work. I had a beautiful meal I'd been preparing. You just come and you dump the whole platter on its face. So please don't be that type of person if you want to be part of the group. And lastly, the last condition for joining the group. Hey, lo yesh shakran. You have to be an honest person. Don't be a liar. Now the term shakran is a strong term. A shakran is a person who is a repeated liar. Right? There's a person who speaks lashon hara. That's unfortunately probably all of us. And then there's a baal lashon hara. A baal lashon hara means he's a master of lashon hara. Right? There's a person who occasionally speaks sheker. And then there's a shakran. A person who through and through is a liar. He can be labeled as a liar. We don't. That's what the labeling people. That's not a good habit to get into. But a person who's a shakran is a person who's accustomed himself to lying. And why is he not going to be successful as a member of our group? And it ties back beautifully into what we just learned in Dalet. It ties back beautifully into Dalet. Because sheker can be defined as a person who's inconsistent. There's a mission in Parah, the Pesach Shabbos, and then Parshas Chukas. There's a mission in the 8th parak of Parah, Mishnah Test. It says the following. Elohim ha-mayim ha-machazv. It's talking about the definition of a ma'ayan. We know to prepare the Parah Duma waters, you need spring water. What's the definition of a spring? How much does it need to be flowing? How long does it need to be flowing? So the Mishnah says in the 8th parak of Parah, it can't be mayim kozvim. It can't be mayim machazvim. Right? Kol adam kozev. A lie. Waters that lie. Dishonest waters. How often of a lie makes the waters dishonest? So listen to what the Mishnah says. Such water is puzzle. It's not considered a live spring. Why is it not a live spring? Says the Mishnah. Hamachazim echad b'shvua. So we're thinking, that's not bad. Right? That the spring stops flowing once a week. No. Shvua means once in 7 years. So that means if you have a fresh flowing body of water that once in 7 years, for whatever reason, it gets backed up. It needs to be unclogged. That's not considered waters that are flowing. That's waters that can't be trusted. That's inconsistent water. Once in 7 years I mess up, that's considered inconsistent. Yes, you're a liar. Now that's the beginning of a lie. But all the more so. The more inconsistent we are, the more our life is a lie. And I think that's what the piece of service is putting Dalet and Hey next to each other. A person can't be a shakran. For a maisha kul b'shkarav. To be drowning in that world of lies. Yes, there are people who occasionally utter a lie. This is certainly not a good thing. A person who's occasionally dishonest, if you're flowing, if you have a good streak going, we'll let you in. We'll take it. If you read us the Doris, we'll take anyone who's flowing in a decent way in his Avodas Hashem. But if a person knows that his whole life is one big lie, he's constantly tricking others and deceiving himself. About such a person, he says, I heard, I heard from Rav Elimelech, who was my dear relative, Sha'amar B'Shem Eiz Tzadik, he said in the name of a certain Tzadik, Zechusu Yagen Aleinu, Sha'af L'Shuv Iyaf Sharish Kaza. Being a liar is one of the greatest impediments to doing tshuva. Tshuva means transformation. If you're a liar, you can't change. Why? Listen to what he says. It's scary. Because even the tshuva that he does, the whole thing's a lie. He's deceiving himself. He'll deceive himself. Oh, I'm a big tzaddik. All of a sudden, I've changed my ways. And it could be the whole thing is a big scam. And this, I think, is an important final tonight to end off on as we finish the section of the composition of the group, the Tochen HaChevra. Because that's our world today. We've left. Rav Zev Leff and his English Sefer, Outlooks and Insights on the Parsha. Here it's a great thing, on page 160. And it tells you that this is our world is such a lie. The world bichlal is alive, right? Olam hazeh. The word olam, the Chiddush Erim said, olam is milashon ne'olam, hellam, concealment. The whole world is a big lie. And it's so easy to lose ourselves. I mean, he spoke about that on the previous page. But our world today, everything, the whole machine of the world is running on lie after lie, after falsehood, after imitation. Listen to what he writes here. It's amazing. He says, today a person can arise in the morning and dress in imitation cotton clothing, put on imitation leather shoes, sit on an imitation wooden chair, eat a breakfast of imitation eggs with imitation meat, salted with a salt substitute, and wash down with fruit juice that contains no fruit. Right. And you can think, you know, here I am. This is leather, and this is wood, and these are eggs, and this is juice. Right? And the whole thing is a lie. The whole thing is, and all of that, no one means, you know, it says on the chair, imitation leather, it says on the shoes, it says, right? But the fact that our world is built on so much imitation, a copy of a copy of a copy of something authentic that once was. And he tells a story here. He says, it's a great story. He says that during Elul, there's a milkman who came to the Telzer Rav, and he said, I have to be honest, I'm feeling bad, it's Elul. I've been cheating my customers, I've been diluting the milk. And the Telzer Rav says, okay, you have to make a, you know, Teshuva means Kabbalah, Allah asit, you're never going to do it again. I'm going to stop diluting the milk. I'm not going to do it anymore. So he said, okay, you know, it's going to be hard, but I'm going to try, I'm going to stop. Okay, so he's delivering the milk without diluting the milk. And people started complaining. And the milk that you're delivering to our doorstep, it doesn't taste right. We're not happy with the milk. So he came back to the Telzer Rav. And he said, people are complaining. People like the old milk better. And he says, look how a person gets so used to sheker. They can get so used to the diluted milk that they think that's what milk's supposed to taste. The real stuff tastes like imitation milk. That's the danger of the world that we're living in. And that's why the PSS Rebbe is begging us. He says, again, as a prerequisite, if you want to be part of the Chevra, please try your best to be an honest person as much as we can, to have consistency, to have a serious commitment to our Avodas Hashem, to be a Ben Torah, whatever that means, Ima'at Im Harbe, to be a person who says, I want to be part of this world of growth. I want to be part of that world that's being molded and developed and shaped by the Torah Kedosha. And such a person will be successful as a member of our Chevra. I know the hour is a little late. We're going to daven Marv in 2 minutes, but I promised Corey already last week that we're going to get to some techniques. So let's just begin. Let's begin Os Aleph. We'll continue it next week. But let's just start a little bit. The Seder Emtzei V'Yesod HaChevra. And the techniques and the theory, the Yesod, the fundamental principles upon which our Chevra will actually operate. And in paragraph number one, and I'm sure of the 20 or so, you know, pieces of advice he's going to give us over the next weeks and maybe months, I'm sure some of them will resonate with us in a more direct way. I'm sure some will resonate with us less. But I think Aleph is really what we're here to do. Again, the name of the Sefer, B'nai Machshava Tova, to be mindful Jews, to be thoughtful Jews. That's what we're working on. And he says it very, very straight in Os Aleph. HaPasuk Miyaser Yisrael. The Torah Kadosh and Parshas HaZinu tells us very clearly. At the beginning of the pasuk is Sur Yaladcha Teshi. Sur, literally the rock, Yaladcha, who gave birth to Teshi. You've forgotten. You've forgotten the rock that gave birth. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Tzor Olamim. Right? Hashem is described as the rock, the immovable rock. Sur Yaladcha Teshi, okay, he doesn't quote that for us, but the end of the pasuk is the same idea in a perhaps an even stronger way. Vatishkach Kel Mechol Alecha. You've forgotten the God who has fashioned you, who has created you, who has given birth to you. Right? You forgot Hashem as a rock, and you forgot Hashem as a God. You forgot God. You've forgotten about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You've forgotten the one who has given birth to you. And again, a Ben Torah is a person who knows who his father is. And as much as our physical parents are real to us, and we should be blessed to have physical parents, and they should have a long life, those of us who have parents and grandparents, and we see them as a real thing. We see our children as real things, right? There's something real. There's a parent, there's a child, there's a direct relationship that's very apparent to us, right? So too, Avinu Shel HaShemayim has to be something that we see, has to be something that we feel, we're margish, not just we know. Yes, we know that Hashem exists. The Babish Rebbe, whose yard site was today, the Babich Rebbe wrote a letter one time when someone asked him, is it possible to give positive proofs of God? Is it possible to give positive, you know, proactive proofs of God? And the Babich Rebbe said, of course there are. Of course there are. If you just look at the world, it's metzias. You're able to see it. It's not through a process of elimination. We're left with, you know, through the disqualification of negatives, we can come to, it's called negative theology. Right? To come to a positive awareness of God. A person whose parents are real, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is real, Avinu Shel HaShemayim is real. It's not a theoretical idea. And yet it's so easy to forget. It's so hard to see. It says the P.S. Esther, this is the line to underline, Zau Iker Hasiba Shemarachekes as Ha'adim in Alakaf. The forgetfulness is the main thing that causes us to be distanced from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to not be thinking, to not be mindful, to become forgetful, to fall into that state of forgetfulness. And I want to just share a very, very strong teaching from the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. It's quoted by his grandson, the grandson of Baal Shem Tov, the Degel Machne Ephraim, who, as a young man, was a real lamdan. He was a big lamdan, and eventually was brought into the ways of Hasidus, or Moshe Chaim Ephraim was his name. He was a grandson of the Baal Shem Tov. And he quotes some parts of Vayikra from his grandfather. It's part of a longer Torah. I'll just give you the main line. The main vart, which is more than a vart, it's more than just a word, it's a way of life. He's explaining a pasuk in Tehillim, Perek Lamed Beis. Ashrei ha'adam lo yachshuv Hashem lo avon. Praiseworthy is the person, right? Lo yachshuv Hashem lo avon. Who Kadosh Baruch Hu does not consider him sinful. Lo yachshuv Hashem lo avon. Hashem does not consider him sinful. Look how the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh reads it in a classic Hasidic fashion. Hain, shutamid b'dveikas machshavasa v'Hashem yisparach. This person is constantly mindful of Kadosh Baruch Hu. V'lekach, kishenofa machshavasa rega echad. When this person stops thinking about Hashem for a second, he's bothered by it. He sees that as sinful behavior. Look how he reads the pasuk. I'll read it again. Ashrei adam lo yachshov Hashem, kama. Praiseworthy is the person that what? If lo yachshov Hashem, if he stops thinking about Hashem for a second, lo avon. To him, that behavior is sinful. It bothers him. It bothers him terribly that I stop thinking about Hashem for a second. Now again, we'll have to talk about what that means to be thinking about Hashem. This is part of the big machlokas of Rav Chaim Volozhiner and the Baal HaTanya, what the definition of Torah Lishma is. Rav Chaim Volozhiner in Shaar Dalet, Perek Beis, Perek Gimel, of the Nefesh HaChaim, says that what is Torah Lishma? Torah Lishma means immersing myself fully in the Torah. Torah Lishma, he says, very strong, very clear, is not Dveikus in Hashem. Torah Lishma is Dveikus in the sugya that I'm learning. Total immersion in the sugya that I'm learning. Yes, there has to be some latent connection to Hashem. That's a prerequisite. And therefore, he makes a cheshbon that a person should spend, you know, a couple of minutes for many, many hours where he stops and thinks and reconnects to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But when I'm learning, I'm not thinking about it. I'm not meditating on God. I'm focusing in the sugya. I'm focusing in the details of the halachos of Beis HaKisei. Right? A person's learning how to clean himself in the bathroom. Right? There's no dveikus v'Hashem there. You're learning the nitty gritty details of halacha, and that's Torah Lishma. That's what Rav Chaim Volozhiner writes in Nefesh HaChaim. The Baal HaTanya, in the way of the Baal Shem Tov, which really rooted in Kisvei Ari, had a different approach, which is what? The Torah Lishma means that I'm attaching myself to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Now, that doesn't mean there's no machlokas between Rav Chaim Volozhiner and the Baal Shem Tov and the Baal HaTanya, v'chulu v'chulu, how one learns. When I learn the Sugya, I immerse myself fully in the Sugya. The sugya is not a means to, in some esoteric way to connect to Hashem. Well, that's also true. Right? I fully immerse in the sugya, but am I making a direct connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or am I directly attaching to Torah? That's sort of the nekuda of that machlokas. But again, everyone agrees that at least on some small, internal, latent level, there has to be some connection that's maintained at all times. That's what Baal Shem Tov is saying. Ashrei Adam, Ashrei Ish. Praiseworthy is the person that if he's lo yachshav Hashem, if he doesn't think about Hashem for a second, he's doing his business dealing. He's fully involved in sealing the deal with his client. But not for a second does he forget about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if he does, he's very bothered by it. Lo avon, to him it's a sin. It's sinful behavior. And we'll just end. Let's read two more lines and we'll pick up Mirtz Hashem next week with the rest of Os Aleph. Uvitvilaso shel Rabbi Elimelech zechatzad v'kadosh l'racha. In the words of Rabbi Elimelech l'gentz, the Noam Elimelech, he says, Tihei, right, his famous tefillah, Tihei mach shavaseinu zacha tzalula ubrura v'chazaka. Kadosh Baruch Hu should give us the mindfulness, that our minds should be clear, that our minds should be strong, should be firm. We shouldn't be people of, again, weak resolve, people who are afach v'chan, who are one day this, one day that. That's, again, that's what Chazal say about Achashverosh. He killed Vashti because of Haman. Then he kills Haman because of Esther. He killed his friend because of his wife because of his friend. He killed his friend because of his wife. He's a person who's pulled this way and that. He's not a person with a clear mission of what he wants from his life. V'chol ish yodea shebe'im hayeroa be'ed of mamish eichu omid lefnei Hashem. And we all know very well that if we would feel the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, those times that we do feel it, and I'll describe those moments of Yom Kippur, those moments of a good Shalosh Shudas, those moments when we tap into something of a good Shmona Esrei, the moment when a person's in a Eis Sara and he feels me'ayin yavo Ezri, that there's nowhere else to turn except for you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You're the only one who understands me and understands what I'm going through. Right? In those moments when we feel the presence of Hashem, if someone would come over to you and say, would you be interested in this Avera? Would you be interested in, you know, a person standing by Ne'ilah, and someone comes over and says, I want to share with you like a dirty joke, right? So it's not even the slightest hava mina you're interested in that. Around the water cooler at work, you know, you're trying to impress someone, maybe yes, maybe no. But in that moment, when I have that clarity of Hashem, by Ne'ilah, get out of my, it doesn't register. It's not even a hava mina. I would never in a million years consider it. And that's what he says. We all know very well that when we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we're in a state of Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamid, when we have that clear awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lo Hayu Lo Shum Yetzahara, person has no Yetzahara, Adarabba, Es Kol Nafsho V'Kol Nashmaso, Hayemoti B'Diburim Kedoshim Lefnei Hashem, Ad Sheyesbato Kulo V'Yeschala Ayedeya Bo Yesbach, that a person again melts into the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He has a clarity about his life's purpose and his life's mission. His neshama is able to operate with clarity, with strength, and he's able to be connected, fully connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Mir Tzashem, next time we'll learn more how we can tap into that. But again, the goal, and I think the sort of the marching orders from the Baal Shem Tov himself, from the Degel Machane Ephraim, it also happens to be in the Toldos Yaakov Yosef, the first Chassidish Sefer ever written. On this week's Parsha, Parsha's Balak, he makes reference to this var from the Baal Shem Tov as well. That Ashrei Ha'ish, praiseworthy is the person, that if he's lo yachshov Hashem, if he stops thinking about Hashem, lo avon, he's bothered by it. He's going to do something about it. And Mir Tzashem, as a chevra, will be zocha to do a lot about it together. Mm-hmm.